We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are here to celebrate an extraordinary achievement. Phil Kessel is a Stanley Cup champion.
Chimera handed it across. Beagle brought it on. Tries to step by. Cannot. Right back the other way it comes. Backlund's pass, carried back in by Kessel. Kessel, the shot, and he scores!
How's your breath?
It's not good, eh?
No, I meant in terms of conditioning.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, obviously, it's a fast game out there, and, you know, you just catch your breath and go back at them.
It's been fun watching. Keep having fun, Phil.
Thanks, eh? I can't believe that.
Easily the highest points of Phil Kessel's career right there. The president giving him a shout-out. A goal against the Capitals in the playoffs, and then that amazing back and forth with Pierre Maguire. How's your breath? That's a remember where you were moment, Chris. Do you remember where we're at? Mike's Beer Bar, by the way, today.
I know where I am right now.
Across from Federal Street. Do you remember where you were when Pierre asked Phil about his breath?
I think it was one of those things for me where I was too busy like trying to dash off a clever tweet and missed it and had to go back and watch it, completely ruining it the first time for me. His reaction is so unbelievably self-effacing. Yeah, it's terrible, huh?
He dropped the Canadian A in there.
Yeah, what was that all about?
He did that a lot. Jason Mackey, his time here. Yeah.
Also joining us in the Post Gazette here at Mike's Beer
Bar. Is that the Toronto thing kind of rubbing off on
him? Yeah,
I didn't
think
hear
so.
Kawhi Leonard saying, you know, we won a title.
I can speak to this from firsthand experience. Like, you're around it enough, you start talking like it. You know, like Dunlap used to get on me for saying guys would like draw into the lineup, and I realized that's not something we would say in America. But
you
just say
organization?
It. No, I never went organization unless I was doing it intentionally. But like, I would jokingly say like, yeah, eh. And then I'd realize, like, wait a second, you're not Canadian. But anyway.
When you would go on Canadian radio or anything, I'm sure you did you intentionally try to not be Canadian sounding? Like, no, I'm going to make sure you know I'm an American reporter.
I dropped my best Yinzer accent, man.
Well, you know, you guys got to believe that Kessel's more, you know, a lot happier here than he was with you guys in Toronto. And that Cauldron Simmons talking
about hot dogs. Even know what Yin's talking about.
Phil comes down here and scores. He doesn't have to talk to the media. He doesn't have to deal with you.
We'll start with you. What did you think of the trade? What was your gut reaction to it?
I liked it. I expected it. I didn't expect the return to be Alex Galchenyuk.
Why?
Because I didn't think Phil would be movable for a legitimate prospect. Not even prospect. That's the wrong term. A legitimate piece that is NHL ready. Like, I thought it was going to be more of a dump. And I thought Rutherford would do well to get pick, prospect, maybe both. I didn't see him getting a legit NHL piece. I like Galchenyuk as a player. I think he'd fit very well with the Penguins in the right situation. I just didn't think the value would be that high on Phil, given his age, some of the struggles to score this past season, some of the stuff you heard about his reputation. I think Jim was smart to hold out for what he got.
I think he got Phil Kessel light back. I think he got a guy who, if you look at his profile as a player.
Okay. Is that a bad thing?
No, though? I don't think it is. He's kind of built like Kessel.
Yeah.
If
he gets Phil Kessel light back, I mean, you've won the trade.
He's got a good shot.
Is saying someone's built like Phil Kessel really being complimentary?
No, it's not. But I was how many times did I watch Arizona this year? The handful of times they played the Penguins, and that was it.
Yeah.
So when I went back, and I'm like, man, he's 6 feet tall, probably a little overweight, has a great shot, allergic to defense. A lot of his points came on the power play.
He'll fit it great
Who
here.
Does this sound like? And it's a one-year trial with him, Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing I like about it is that this deal, unlike the Minnesota trade that was proposed and accepted and then Kessel nixed it, they didn't get saddled with any bad contracts back. If it doesn't work with Galchenyuk, well, okay, the money, the $5 million comes off the books, and then you try to find another score next offseason?
Well, I mean, I think it's a trade made at gunpoint, basically, because of Kessel's no movement clause and because he already shot them down once. And it's the return is fine. For me, I guess it's funny. People have mentioned P.O. Joseph as kind of the other big thing in this trade. Like, he's a better prospect than people thought. Anything Jim Rutherford's doing is for the here and now, though. I mean, this guy isn't going to be here in a couple of years. He knows this. This is his last contract as a GM. I can't imagine in his mid-70s he wants to be here. So everything he's doing is in service of the here and now. And I don't really – I've amended my kind of thought on this. I thought, oh, the defensemen's maybe good. I don't know. They're worse in the short run. I don't care what they do in the free – Tanev, I don't care what they do. They're a worse hockey team than they were when the season
I don't
ended.
Think you can say that, Chris. I don't think you can say that because you haven't had Galchenyuk around the type of players that he's going to be around. He's a 30-goal scorer. He could easily score 30 again.
He's only 25 years
old, Chris. Hold on.
He's been playing in Montreal and Arizona.
I know, but you say he's a 30-goal scorer. The overwhelming majority of his career has been he's a guy who scores in the teens. So, I don't know.
Right,
that's like saying
with crap players compared to what he's going to inherit in Pittsburgh. He could play on the left side in a line with Evgeny Malkin and Patrick Hornquist. That's entirely likely for how this goes down.
I mean, are we sure Hornquist's any good anymore?
Well, I don't know.
He can do that still. He could be Tomas Holmstrom and screen for a guy with a good shot.
Better opportunity than what he's getting in Montreal and Arizona. I'll take the odds on Patrick Hornquist being able to add 2+2 and get 4.
Kessel scored 27 goals last year. It's not out of the question that Galchenyuk gets that this year.
But that was a bad year for Phil Kessel. That would be a
he was
good
a point per
Galchenyuk.
Game player. God knows I've heard that over and over again in the
I'm
last
not,
48
I'm not the one
hours.
Saying that. I mean, that was a bad year for Phil Kessel, or it was characterized as a less than kind of vintage Phil Kessel year. And if Alex Galchenyuk gets 27 goals, people are going to be like over the moon. People are going to be rejoicing. You guys don't know hockey, Muller. You panned it again. Jeez, no. They got a guy who
but
they
But, Chris, what
they
was the alternative?
There was no alternative, and that's the point. When you make crappy signings like Jack Johnson, when you make crappy trades like for Eric Goodbranson, when you kick the can down the road in perpetuity, you have to make deals like this.
I don't know if I agree with that, because if I believe guys like Jason, whether they had a good cap situation or not, they were going to get rid of Phil Kessel this offseason because he didn't fit the team anymore, that he had burned too many bridges with either Sullivan or Malkin, or he just – Am I talking out of school here, Jason?
No, you're totally within your right.
Then I come down on one side of this very specifically. If it was mostly because he didn't see eye to eye with Sullivan, it was stupid to get rid of him. If it was more because Evgeny Malkin and he did not get along, then I'm okay with it. But this idea of catering to a coach in a league where coaches are fungible is ridiculous.
I don't see it as much. Forget everything that we heard in the past couple of weeks. This is something that dates back to the beginning of their offseason. It dates back to the past two offseasons. Listen, Jim Rutherford listened on Phil Kessel the past 2 years. Was there a return that Rutherford was willing to move on? No. He found return this season that he was willing to move on. And after you say what Rutherford did at the beginning of this offseason about there needs to be changes, you know, change the culture, all this stuff, you can't just throw all that stuff out and expect it to vanish into thin air. You have to do something. And also, how many times has Rutherford said, I'm going to trade everybody? You know, he makes some sort of comment like that. Dude, you can't keep doing that without actually doing it at some point. So a combination of all of that stuff, it being a good business decision. No,
but
Phil
Chris
and
is
Kessel.
Jason, Chris is asking.
Phil and Sullivan.
Were cap constraints the reason why the trade got made? And you're saying no.
I'm saying it was a part of it. There was a lot of parts of it. And
what do you
cap
think was the
constraints?
Biggest?
No,
the
I don't
relationship
know. It's hard
with
to
the coach?
No, I don't. I okay. don't. I really don't think that's
the center?
It. No, I really don't think it's that either. I think winning could have superseded all of that for every single one of those guys. But you have a business decision to free up cap space. Rutherford's giving it a shot. He needs to change the culture. He needs to get a new type of player in there. And he's trying to go a different direction. They just got their heads beat in by the Islanders. Are you going to keep pretending that everything's fine? No, they want to win now, so they're going to change something and try to win now.
You couldn't bring the same team back next year, Chris.
No.
The same nucleus, I don't think.
Well, I'm starting to have major concerns about the capabilities of the guy tasked with building the team because I think he's the one most responsible right now for making them appreciably worse. Let's get tough. Let's get some pushback. That's old school nonsense that I guess I expect from a dude who's been around the game that long.
So do you
long,
think
it's not
the
exactly
Penguins...
worthwhile. It's not something that I think is conducive to winning titles.
But you didn't think going into this offseason the Penguins were good enough to make a minor change or two and compete for a Stanley Cup.
No, but I don't like the moves he's made.
Fair enough, but I'm asking you if you're starting to address issues with this team and you're looking to make a seismic change,
you have to trade Phil Kessel or Chris Letang.
All right.
He wasn't going to trade Letang.
There you
go. The sad part is, I think the Phil Kessel deal is the best thing he's – arguably the best thing he's done. Like, Cahoon doesn't, like, light the world on fire for me. And you trade Ole – like, Ole's
but he's
whatever.
A useful player. I mean, okay. Ole Mata was what, your sixth – your fifth slash sixth slash seventh defenseman making $4 million a year. That's a good trade.
Worse than Jack Johnson? Yeah.
And you're able to backfill it with somebody like Yusso Riikola. If you have that player available, why are you paying Ole Mata 4.1?
I guess I'm having like a moment of clarity here that this, to me, like, and I probably could have established this or come to this conclusion a month ago. I think this team is done with this core. I just don't see a way where they're flexible enough, where they get enough impactful players in free agency or in trades, where they have enough young talent, where they are anything but a middle of the pack team.
Even if Evgeny Malkin goes back to being a great player next year?
Yes.
I disagree with you.
Yes, I disagree with that. If Malkin goes back to like 2018 Malkin.
Do guys frequently get better in their mid-30s, which is where he's headed?
Not a ton, but there should be enough talent around him to support it. I mean, they have enough talent on that team. They should be able to compete.
Jay, you're hearing me be a wet blanket right now, and you have a better pulse of, like, I think what people
are
saying.
No, I mean, your perspective is interesting. I'm not crushing it. I'm just saying, I'm not ready to say Evgeny Malkin's done.
I'm not trying to be challenging in that way. Do you get the sense more people feel like I do, or more people are still in benefit of the doubt mode for this front office?
I think more people are kind of in wait-and-see mode. I'll take option C. Like, they're kind of cautiously optimistic. I think another one where it ends short, they're a little bit worried. You know, I think some people are on the fence about stuff like the Jack Johnson signing. I agree with you. But do I look at the Penguins because of the Jack Johnson signing and say this team isn't good enough to compete? No. I mean, Jack Johnson was a perfectly serviceable defenseman. There would not be this amount of freak out over the guy if, like, this was the last year of his contract. Everybody freaks out because of the length of the thing, which I agree is stupid and wrong, and it's way too long of a contract. But what he did last season, I mean, it doesn't completely put the entire team in the tank. Could they have been better? Yes.
Jim Rutherford at 3 o'clock today. What's on tap is brought to you by Fatheads 15 Packs, now available in Sunshine, Daydream, and Bumbleberry. Rutherford, Bob Grove, Winnipeg Jets color guy to join us to talk about the Brandon Tanev signing. So a lot to do. We're live from Mike's Beer Bar across the street from PNC Park. That's where Jason will be headed later tonight. Chris and I, too, except we're taking fans. We're allowed to drink beer. Jason's not, which is a huge
ridiculous
distinction. They used to have beer in the press box back in the day.
I mean, you could use it these days over there.
You think?
You're a ray of sunshine today, man. Is this always like this?
With Chris?
Yes.
I like when Chris has got a little bit of a mood going. A little edge.
Well, I'm trying to get a little.
Are you bouncing between funerals? Or hey, what
brother,
is going on
Rutherford
here?
Rutherford should sign me. I've got a little pushback right now in my game. I've got a little edge.
You don't have pushback. You're a wet blanket.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Next up, we'll ask Jason if the media forced Phil Kessel out of town. It's the PM team. Brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram dealer, ShorkyNorthHills.com. We're at Mike's Beer Bar, July. Big craft beer month here. 80 craft beers on tap. So come on down before tonight's Pirates-Cubs game. Stop by after the game. Have a couple post-game beers here. Great spot for happy hour beers.
Question for you.
Mike's Beer Bar.
If they lined up a one-ounce shot of every one of the 80 beers on tap here and just line them up on the bar, you think you make it through?
Yeah, I do.
Pretty easily?
I can do 80 ounces.
What if I give you a time limit on that?
An hour?
Yeah.
I'd have a hard time with that.
That's more than a power hour.
I know.
And it's craft beer, so it's not like you're drinking, you know.
Jason Mackey's here, so we've got our Penguins roundtable back together. Any comment on that? You care to weigh in?
I think I could do it. I was curious if either of you guys, power hours, were they big in college?
Yeah, we had playlists.
I did
playlists,
not.
Yeah, we did.
I was good at funneling beers.
Chris would sneak a little OAR in there for good
Oh,
measure.
You got to have.
No, stop, stop. I was good at funneling beers. I was pretty good at shotgunning beers. I could never do the power hours too well.
No?
I don't know why. I would get too into the song.
Friends in low places would pop on.
Yeah, you just want to listen to the song, and then you're like, oh, I got to fill up another shot of beer.
Jason, did the media force Phil Kessel out of town?
No, they didn't force Phil Kessel out of town. I don't believe that for a second. And I know what Rossi wrote for The Athletic, and I read it, and I'm not going to sit here and, like, dispute or bash or anything like that.
Well, what did Rob say specifically about that angle?
I mean, it
he said
he made it sound like it was a gigantic mess. I mean, he literally called it a hostage situation. I don't think it was that. But I also don't think that the media in Pittsburgh was unfair in any way to Phil Kessel. I know for a fact we didn't sit there and demand him to talk the way they did in Toronto. Yes, we asked for him to talk probably more than he did. Were we a pain in the butt about it? No, I don't.
So you don't think the media made Phil feel like, you know what, the heck with this place, I don't want to be here anymore?
No, I don't think so at all. And he's even said that it's a lot easier than it was in Toronto. He didn't face the same stuff. He was able to go disappear, and then it'd be like a groundhog. He'd just pop his head up once a month and cool. You know, and there were a couple periods where he didn't do that, and we'd all be like, hey, is Phil going to talk? And, you know,
yeah,
that
I'll be
was
honest,
the extent of it.
The idea that the media pushed him out is the kind of thing proffered by whiny fanboys who like want to have a scapegoat because their favorite player
just
got shipped out of town.
I mean, Chris, you're a big Phil Kessel fan. Are you, like, down in the dumps over this trade?
I mean, I'm bummed out because it was fun to watch him when he was good. It's always fun, for me at least, as a sports fan, to watch somebody who doesn't look like they should be good at a sport, because in his case, he's overweight for the sport,
the
for
John
his build.
John Kruk version of
right. I mean,
an
it's
NHL
fun to watch.
Player.
It's fun to watch John Kruk. It's fun to watch John Daly. It's fun to watch Phil Kessel. I enjoyed it. Like, I'm in the media, but I'm not somebody who was writing a game story, a beat writer, right? So I didn't care that he didn't talk to the media. Like,
I didn't care that he didn't talk to the media.
He popped his head up every 2 months, did something funny in a video. Teammates laughed. Everyone said Phil's great. No, the idea that the media pushed him out is one that is posited only by fanboys who want the media to be the villain.
And to
that's
be
it.
And to be fair, okay, let's clear something up here. This is a good path to walk down. The media complaining about Phil Kessel, the stuff that's written and said about Phil Kessel, is not because he doesn't talk after games. None of us could care less. Look, if I go and cover a Penguins game or I'm on the beat and I can't do my job without a quote from Phil Kessel, look, I suck at my job. I would hope that I don't. But, I mean, what you're reading about Phil Kessel, it's coming from people within the organization who are talking. I can tell you personally, a lot of people talked about Phil, described their intentions. You read a lot of it. It's not crap.
Did the casino stuff bug the Penguins? Is that a real concern that he was rubbing off on young players, Jake Guentzel?
Well, it might be a concern that he was rubbing off on young players, but not because he went to the casino. I mean, he could be into knitting, and if he quits it after dinner, what the heck's the problem? I mean, that's that.
So they weren't like long nights like Michael Jordan in Atlantic City or Yamir Yager?
No. That was not – it was never – but, like, I know Guentzel – you know, didn't get himself into trouble, but like he was hanging out at the casino more than he probably should. And I think that was something you see Phil doing it. You think it's cool. Same thing with, you know, he was always the last guy on the ice. He was always the first one off. Like he didn't think certain rules applied to him. And to be fair, he might be right.
All right. We got Jason Mackey from the Post Gazette here with us at Mike's Beer Bar. Jim Rutherford at 3 o'clock. And coming up next, Jason Mackey had a good relationship with Jim. Get to the bottom of, did Phil Kessel really make trade requests? Was this something that happened frequently? Did Jim Rutherford really tell Phil Kessel, you'll never be a Pittsburgh Penguin ever again? We'll get into that coming up next. Live from Mike's Beer Bar, it's the PM team on the Fan. You could join us on the Permane Brothers World Tour. Next stop will be in August. And for more information, you can go to our website, 937thefan.com. You make it out to enough of these, you enter to win a free trip to Florida. So there you go. Jason Mackey, ineligible because he's part of the station roster, unfortunately.
Unfortunately?
Well, unfortunately. Unfortunate that you can't win
the trip. Kidding.
As we get our Penguins roundtable together back again. Remember those days together at Cambria Suites.
Yep.
Can it be a round table if we're sitting at a rectangular table and there's only three of us, which would be triangular in nature?
You guys would both get hot dogs, which I guess now looking
chili
back
dog.
On it was...
Ooh. I just thought if we reignite that in this hockey season, I don't know, you guys might trade me off for Wenzel or somebody else.
For Wenzel? Nabias. Who knows, right?
Whatever, but I can actually get a hot dog and not worry about having to like do beat work.
Wenzel doesn't follow me or listen to this show. That would be like us trading Kessel for Galchenyuk. I'm not doing that.
Wow.
Deal. No way. Sorry.
That's a low blow to Wenzel.
I know.
He's working hard right now.
You guys touted.
It's hacking away here.
You guys touted Galchenyuk. You like him. I'm saying that from my personal opinion, I think we got Phil Kessel here.
Jason, do you believe that Phil Kessel made formal trade requests to Jim Rutherford more than once in his Penguins career?
I have a tough time seeing this stuff come out. It's weird because my sense and feeling and talking to Rutherford is not that he disliked Phil Kessel at all. It's honestly been a very warm relationship. Do I think Phil Kessel rubbed some people in the Penguins organization the wrong way? Yes, and namely, they were Mike Sullivan. Rutherford, sorry, that came out kind of
his name. His name rhymes with Psych Mullivan. Yes, can you guess who it is?
I remember having lunch with Rutherford when he first got Kessel, and we were talking. I don't remember whether this is on the record or off the record, but whatever. And we were talking about like Phil's kind of body type and how he does things, and Jim just kind of sort of wryly said, maybe more people should be like him. You know, and I'm not going to go into the Rutherford voice, but I mean, that was Jim's basic thought on Kessel. Like, maybe more people should give less of a you-know-what and live life like that. Like, they need a player like that. I don't think suddenly Jim's going to sour on the guy and hate him, but he does realize it might be a good business.
So was he a sort of odd offshoot? I know he's not the same kind of player. When Guerin came in 2009, there has been so much said and written about how he loosened Crosby up. Now, he was a blood-and-guts veteran who just didn't take the guy seriously, and Crosby responded well. But are you telling me that in some ways Kessel was a much more productive sort of offshoot of that?
I think so.
I come in, yep. I'm sort of a goof, but you know I'm going to be good, and you know I'm going to light people up when I'm going well.
We can't criticize Sidney Crosby for much. I think one thing you can criticize Sidney Crosby for is maybe being a little too team serious all the time. Like, Sid, laugh. Get out of hockey robot mode. Chill out. I think Phil kind of did that. Their dressing room stalls were just a couple apart from each other. Phil, when we would see it, would be needling Crosby. I mean, it wasn't like he was Crosby's personal court jester. But what you're saying, Chris, I think is very accurate in that he was just somebody to get everybody to lighten up.
Did Kessel take the third line assignments personally?
Yeah, I think he did. I know for a fact that he had a problem with being put on the third line. He wanted to play in a top six capacity with Gino.
Even though a shining moment came on the Bonino line.
Right.
Well, that was
did not.
But that's the thing. That was the Kessel line, is what it should have been called. That was what I always thought was most important.
I know,
he
didn't see it that way.
His line.
He didn't see it that way. Remember 2 years ago when he stunk in the playoffs and we all thought he was injured?
Yep.
Like, I guess I can say it now. It was a lot of pouting. It was a lot of, I'm pissed.
Well, he would call
up
Tockett and say, this is BS.
He did it, I believe, the morning before Game 6 against Washington. Something close to the game they lost. Like, he was calling Tockett and complaining. Which, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, if you have a friend, like, that's what he did in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
You know, he would complain about it. But he was not happy in a third line role.
So to circle back to something here, you said you don't think he had an issue with Rutherford. It was clear that the guy he had an issue with mainly was Sullivan more than anything else. That was the clash there.
I think they had an issue with him. I think Phil kind of laughed.
Okay, Phil was whatever, but that was the issue. So the Penguins have now clearly had the coach win the power struggle here. And yet, I should have said something about this weekend, but I thought I was crazy, like I was missing something. They hire Mike Vellucci to coach the AHL team. That's a guy with history with Rutherford.
Who just
won the Calder Cup.
Right.
It would stand to reason that if the current head coach won his power struggle because Kessel got traded away, that you wouldn't have a corresponding move that seems to be dark clouds on the horizon for Mike Sullivan, like a warning shot. Hey, if this thing doesn't get off to a real fast start this coming year, and the Penguins often don't because they usually know they can quote-unquote turn it on, Mike Vellucci has a history with Jim. That the whole thing just seems like a lot of different angles dovetailing at once, not all of which make sense to me when taken together.
Well, and if I'm just looking at their AHL club too, and I have the opportunity to hire this guy, and I'm Rutherford, I mean, it makes sense, right? I don't think Clark Donatelli was setting the world on fire. I don't know if it was personal reasons or they just said, like, you know, hey, Clark, you can resign for personal reasons or we're going to fire you, whatever you want to do. But when you have this in concert with what's going on with the NHL coach going into potentially a lame duck year.
Do you think they'll let it get to that point? Will we see a Mike Sullivan contract extension this summer?
I do think we'll see a Mike Sullivan contract extension. But like I said earlier, it doesn't give me a ton of faith that things are good.
I think it depends how many years are on it.
If he gets, like, if it's a 1 year, then you're just placating.
Are they the type of franchise that would pay somebody multiple years of a contract to go away?
Make
it a habitual.
Chris,
thing.
I don't think they would again. Like, if they gave Sullivan a 4-year extension,
he's here.
They're not going to give him 4. They can't.
What's most reasonable to you if they do it?
Two. He has one on.
What's
Rutherford
have? 3 years total left?
Yeah.
So, okay. Match him up with Rutherford, and then they can ride into the sunset with a burning house in the background.
All that optimism.
Well, no, I'm serious.
No,
we all laugh about it, but the bill is coming due sooner rather than later for this team.
I. Here's one thing that I struggle with like the bashing of Sullivan. How do we know if he's not a good coach if he has dudes on his team that aren't listening to him?
I'm not saying he's
like
a bad coach.
It can be an indictment of the team. Phil Kessel, who openly like flouted this guy's authority, and then we're saying like Sullivan's struggling to coach.
Well,
Sullivan is one of the best coaches in the league if you listen.
But here's the thing you're missing when you make that point, Jason. Getting fired in the NHL does not make you a bad coach.
Yeah,
like Sullivan
fair.
Got fired.
So it happens way too often where teams get better after coaches get fired that no NHL head coach, regardless of whether they're Al Arbor or Scotty Bowman, should have a ton of job security.
No, you're right.
Because
you're right.
Coaches get fired like Mike Yeo in St. Louis all the time, and the team performs better after the fact. I don't need to preach that to Penguins fans because they've won four of their five Stanley Cups that way. But you get the point. I mean,
no,
Mike Sullivan, just because he's really accomplished and he's done great things here, doesn't mean that he should have an ironclad contract.
No, you're right. I just get stuck in the rut of watching this guy, you know, and seeing Sullivan and talking to him and having something of a relationship, at least as much as a beat reporter would. Like, the guy knows what he's doing. It's just a shame that that gets cast aside, but I'm sure he's one of many as
yeah,
we're talking
I don't want to make
about.
I don't want to make it seem like I think he's a bad coach. I don't.
Yeah, no, it's a weird sport.
It's a very disposable profession in this particular sport.
Yeah.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Stop out for their sizzling summer sell-down event going on right now. 83 degrees, a low of 67. We're at Mike's Beer Bar, which is a great place to be before Pirates and Cubs, especially with the 80 craft beers they have on tap right now. Special for the month of July. 4th of July game on Thursday. Come down early, stay late, hang out downtown for the fireworks on the North Shore and take advantage of that. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Jim Rutherford. We'll ask Jason Mackey next how he feels about the Tanev signing and if there's any other July 1st signings that have gotten his attention. We'll be right back. It's the PM team on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.